So this time of year is kind of, I have to say, kind of one of my favorite times of year. I like the game of football. And, you know, if you hadn't noticed this past weekend, there are multiple games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and today. And you may have watched the Seahawks play the game today. You may be a Husky or Cougar fan and watched the game yesterday. You may be, a Georgia fan, Alabama fan, whatever, in some of those games that were played over the weekend. And it's, you know, something that I enjoy the game. I also have teams that I'm favorites with. But did you realize that for these games, these teams spend weeks preparing for the game? For what? For a victory in a battle. They're looking for victory. And so what they do is they'll study the other teams. They'll study with films, and they'll watch their plays, and they'll watch, look for tendencies that they have to do. They look for the plays, like I said, the players themselves and how good or what kind of player they are and the things that they do. And like I said, again, for it's all for coming together for a victory. They practice, and all these things they learn, they use to exploit their opponent on the playing field. Our military academy, our Navy academy, our Air Force academy all teach military strategy. If you were to go to the academy, you learn games of battle. You learn chess. At least I know that much. I don't know if there's other games that they learn and teach them. They also will do with the military, as you probably hear, our military will do war games. And what they do is practice at what they want to do and learn about the opponent, and in the end, in a battle, learn to exploit the enemy so they may win the battle. Excuse me, I have a bug up here. He's gone now. He's over there someplace. When one goes against an enemy, it is essential for them to have an understanding of their opponent. As for us as Christians, we have an enemy. Our enemy is the devil or Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil or Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour." Devour, the definition, to consume destructively or destroy. The name Satan carries definition: opponent, adversary, enemy. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 44, "You have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Seems kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it? But are we to love the devil? Certainly not. We have to remember to keep everything in context. The scripture here in context, Jesus was talking about our physical enemy on earth and not our spiritual enemy, the devil. We are not to love the devil. Like the football teams and our military, we too need to know our enemy. Let's look at some of the things we need to know about our enemy. First of all, our enemy is evil. There are at least three scriptures in the New Testament where Satan is referred to as the evil one. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. In John, 1 John chapter 2, 13 and 14, and in 1 John again, chapter 3, verse 12. In Matthew 13, 19, it says, "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path." There's two places in 1 John chapter 2, one at 13 and one at 14. And the second half of 14 says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And 1 John 3:12 says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. The dictionary gives the following definition of evil: morally wrong, harmful, injurious, bad conduct or character, marked by anger and irritability. I think a better way to define evil is lack of the presence of God. Jesus summarizes Satan pretty well in John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Something we should always remember about the devil, about Satan. But, you know, it's really kind of hard for us to comprehend how evil Satan is. We can compare him to evil people that we've known in the earth throughout history. Now, here's a few examples. We have Nero, if you remember, persecuted thousands of Christians, tortured and killed them in a very graphic way. A little closer in history to us, Joseph Stalin, dictator of the Soviet Union from the mid-1920s to 1953. He once said, one death is a tragedy. A million deaths is simply a statistic. Sounds kind of cold, doesn't it? He was responsible for the death of over 40 million people. I mean, think of that. Another one, Adolf Hitler, Chancellor of Germany during World War II. He was directly responsible for the deaths of 11 million people. There are plenty of others that were associated with Hitler and the Nazis that were evil. And there are many, many more we can compare him to. But Satan is far more evil than any of these. What else do we need to know? Our enemy is militant. Definition: combative, eager to fight, confrontational, extremely aggressive, active. Several passages from the Bible, from Scripture, reveals Satan's militant nature. In Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it reads, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Now get an idea of that, roaming, going back and forth. Satan said he'd been roaming, so he'd been pretty active, again from our definition. And from 1 Peter 5:8, it says, Satan prowls or roams around like a roaring lion, eager to fight, aggressive. He's militant. You can imagine a lion, as you see sometimes in the zoo or something like that, kind of pacing, roaming around. That kind of aggression. And from our reading in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, and thank you, Melvin, for reading that, Satan tempts Jesus. That's pretty bold. That's pretty militant. Let me paraphrase. After Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan tempted him with food. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand up on the highest point of the temple and told him to throw himself down from it to test him. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor and promised to give them to Jesus if he would worship him. Do could get him. Now we got the bug. He's gone. Thank you, Roy. Yeah, everyone's probably looking. He got the bug on him. Okay. This temptation of Christ shows the aggressiveness, shows the militant manner of Satan. Think about how bold that is. He tempts him three times. He goes through and tries to get him to follow him. Satan tries to get Jesus to follow him. That to me seems pretty militant, pretty bold, pretty aggressive. What else? Our enemy is cunning, like nobody else. Definition: devious, scheming, shrewd, deceitful. In 2 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. He says, "Another reason I wrote to you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes," meaning we are aware that he's scheming. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, again, Paul writing to Corinthians, affirming that Eve was deceived by Satan's cunningness, and didn't want them to be deceived in the same manner. It reads, "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Again, he was warning them. We can see just how militant and cunning Satan is. Let's look at our world. We have the increase of violent crimes. We have the increase in addictions, and these are things we see locally. We see increase in sexual deviancy and a lot of this stuff in the news lately. We see false religions deceiving people with false doctrines. We see divisions. We see divisions in our nation. We see divisions in churches. We see divisions in families. And we see divisions between individuals. We also see increase in temptations for all of us. Again, Satan deceiving us into believing lies like he did with Eve. He's tempting us. He's so aggressive that Paul exhorts us to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's from Ephesians 6:11. Our enemy fights on many fronts. We see him fighting on many fronts in the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, we're all pretty much familiar with those accounts. Let me run through them. There was a lot of things going on, as you probably know. First, the envy of the Jewish leaders. In Mark chapter 15, 9 through 10, it reads, "But Pilate answered them, saying, 'Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?' For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy." On another front, the betrayal of Judas. John 13:2. "The evening meal was in progress. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus." The plot to kill, murder Jesus. Matthew 26:3-4. The chief priests and scribes and elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. Again, another front that Satan was there and fighting. We have the false witnesses willing to testify against Jesus. In Matthew 26:59-62, Satan had affected their hearts so that they would be false witnesses and try and testify against Jesus. There was the denial of Peter in Luke 22:31. And that reads, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." We see the brutality of the Roman soldiers in Luke 22:63-65. We see the mockery of the masses at the foot of the cross. And we see the horrible means of execution, crucifixion, that our Lord and Savior had to suffer through. Again, Satan fights on many fronts. Even today, we see this. He still fights on many fronts. In the national front, acceptance of abortion, homosexuality, drugs, and the like. On the home front, abuse, divorce, adultery, vices, busy schedules. You say, busy schedules? This is, people use this as an excuse for not taking time to worship the Lord. I'm too busy. They don't prioritize. On the church front, some churches, there's apathy, slothfulness, disregard for God's word, division, and weak leadership. And on our personal front, the constant temptations we face each day. How much of a battle is it for you each day for the temptations that you see each and every day? Our enemy has a goal in mind. His goal, seeking whom he may devour. Now let's remember our definition of devour: consume destructively or destroy. Satan's purpose is the ruin of men. The number of good men and women that Satan has brought to utter ruins is numberless. A few examples from the Bible. We have Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. Here God is talking to the prophet Samuel. "Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, 'I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions.' Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all night." And then in 1 Samuel 15:23, Samuel is talking to Saul, and he says to him, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." So God took Saul's kingship away from him. We see King David and his adultery with Bathsheba. Even though he repented, it still led him, in this he was also led to murder. He murdered Bathsheba's husband, or had him murdered. And again, David had repented, but this led to David not having peace throughout the remainder of his reign, and not allowing him to build God's temple because of the innocent blood on his hands. We may have also heard about elders, preachers, or church members that have been brought to ruin by divorce, drugs, pornography, alcohol, covetousness, false teaching, gambling, or anything like that. The devil has devoured them. Our enemy has an agenda. Now, Buck had mentioned about some social movements this morning. And most social movements have an agenda, whether they're written or unwritten. All movements definitely have goals they desire to achieve. Some of the movements are good, some are bad. Example, we have seen the women's rights movement, we have seen the civil rights movement, we have seen the labor movement. But we've also seen things like the pro-choice or abortion movement, or the LGBTQ movement, as well as other movements. Some of their goals universal acceptance of certain lifestyles, not Christian lifestyle. Discredit all scriptures that condemn their acts. Muzzle preachers and the Christian media that speak out against them. They grant special privileges and rights to those that live immoral lifestyles. Overturning laws, moral laws. They indoctrinate children and future generations through public education, through TV, and other media. They're also securing all the legal benefits for their lifestyle. There's a lot of these lifestyles that were in a lot of states against the law, and only until recently they have been overturned. What else must we need to know? Biggest thing, our enemy is not to be underestimated. Quote from Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu, "There is no greater danger than underestimating your opponent." Our enemy knows exactly what he wants. Our enemy knows how to get it. Our enemy will patiently endure until the end is accomplished. Our enemy will love you with false love. He will meet with you and fellowship with you if need be. Our enemy lives by this rule: all is fair in love and war. You know what that means? It means do whatever it takes to win, whether fair or unfair. Remember, our enemy is Satan, and he's evil and has a goal in mind. Don't underestimate him. If we think he's not intent on evil, we are wrong. If we think he will tire from entrapping us, we are wrong. If we think he is not strong, we are wrong. If we think he is ignorant, we are wrong. If we think he is unorganized, we are wrong. If we think he does not see us as an enemy, we are wrong. We as Christians are at war. We are at war with an enemy that is hard to imagine or understand. We have nothing on this earth, physically on this earth. We can compare him to people, but still, he's much more evil than that. He's not like the bully at school, but he is a little bit more like a sociopath who has no conscience. He doesn't care about you. Remember, he is evil. He is militant. He is cunning. He fights on many fronts. He has a goal in mind. He has an agenda. And he must not be underestimated. Underestimate our enemy is sure path to defeat. Think about the football that I talked about earlier. And you may have seen that. Some teams think they're going to go in and beat a team. There have been some upsets over the weekend by, some nationally ranked teams got beat by some teams that weren't ranked at all. Did they underestimate their enemy, their opponent? Very possibly. Let's not do that. Let's not underestimate our enemy, or we will seek sure path to defeat. Look at what happened to the Israelites. Look at what God let happen to them because they underestimated Satan and failed to follow God's word. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, if you'd like to join me in reading there. Hosea 4, 1 through 6. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this land, the excuse me, I'm not reading this right. Because of this, the land dries up, and all who live in it will waste away. Skip down to verse 5. It says, you stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. Where it reads here in Hosea, there is only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Kind of sounds like what we're facing today, doesn't it? Think about what will happen to us if we don't follow God's word. So remember these three verses. 1 Peter 5:8. Be in control of your thoughts. Be sober. Be vigilant. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Be aware of the dangers. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. And finally, in Ephesians 6:11, God is more powerful than Satan. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So remember those things. Carry those with us throughout our lives. That's the end of the lesson. But I implore you that if you're in need of prayers, if you'd like to be baptized, for whatever reason, you can come forward as we sing the song, Invitation, that Richard has selected.